I find it very much a blessing and a privilege to be able to speak with all of you today. And as strange as it may be, I feel like it was just yesterday that I was sitting in one of your spots, because I grew up on Long Island, but we did go to Lehigh Valley Teen Camp growing up and the Singles Camp, so I probably went to camp with a lot of your parents. Probably if I went around, and some of you look like your parents, so I sort of figured, oh, they must be related to me. But life is a wonderful journey, and it's even more wonderful when you're saved and you do God's will for your life. But in life, it can be very complicated, and there can be lots of questions because we're human, and lots of times because we're girls. I know that because I am one, and I was your age at one time, so I totally understand where you're at and what you're thinking, and I'm not sure where everyone is spiritually, if you're saved or if you're lost. There's a lot of questions that come with that, and what is the purpose of my life, and what am I doing here, why do we do the things that we do? There's so much when I was preparing for this lesson that I wanted to cover and I could have covered, but being that this week's theme is on thinking right, I really wanted to sort of hone in on that, and so I just have a couple of points here about our thoughts, and I will tell you the outline as we go along so you know what to fill in and stuff like that. But we live in a world where there is an ever-increasing sway towards a type of thinking that there is no right and there's no wrong, and every man does that which is right in his own eyes, which we know that phrase because God's word says that. So God already knew the way man is going to think and the way the end of the world, what we're living in the last days, how we're going to think. And there is such a strong push and a sway to think like the world and to be like the world, and it's in our churches and it's in our homes. And so we as young ladies and ladies here, we have to determine how we're going to think. Are we going to think God's ways? Or are we going to think man's ways? The Bible says, if you turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, that we have an answer to how we should think and how we should view life. Wait till you're all there. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, according as his divine power hath given us unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So, problem solved really quickly. God has given us everything we need for life. We don't have to go through life, as an example, like blindly trying to figure out life and is this the right choice? Is this what I should do with my life? God gives us everything we need. Do you know what that allows us to do? We can breathe a sigh of relief. The world doesn't have that. The world is find your own way, do what you think feels good, do what you think feels right. There's no absolutes in the world's philosophy. It's just whatever feels good at the moment, where God gives us truth and gives us absolutes. I think more so girls in this day and age, more than maybe Miss Jackie and I and any of the other ladies, you have feel like it's a more challenging society that you live in. The world is more in your face through social media, through television, the pressure for you is, I feel like, stronger and greater. So you know what that tells you? You need to be stronger and greater through Christ. And don't give in so easily. You know, I can tell you, I could sit here today and tell you countless stories of people that grew up in church and they didn't choose Christ. They chose the world and heartache and struggles and... But I'm not going to do that today because I'm sure you've heard all these things over and over again. I want to give you some good thoughts of ways to think right and help to challenge you in a way how you can be the best for God's glory. You've been given a lot in your life just because of even just this week you've been given a lot. You've been given an opportunity that most children throughout this world had never had. A camp away from from the world, away from all the different things in your life that may be hard or difficult, a way to get away from it all, to hear good preaching. So you've been given a great opportunity. And you have an opportunity to stand out and to make a difference and be the best that you can be. Standing up for what's right and for what's true is very important in this day and age. And so you have to know what you believe, what you think is right and what's true. And how are we going to find that out? We have to find it and compare it through Scripture. You ever hear that Scripture, everything that we believe or we think should be filtered through Scripture? How many of you bake? Like to bake? You ever filter something or sift something, right? That's exactly what all of our questions and all of our thoughts and all of our wonderings in life should be filtered through Scripture. So Jesus says a house divided against itself cannot stand. So we have to make up our mind on what we're going to believe, the world's philosophies or the Lord's ways. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs 21, verse 30. We're going to get into our outline in just a minute. I just wanted to start off this way. This is a Bible verse in my girls' Christian school that every morning in opening exercises, the whole school meets together and they have scripture that they memorize and they do the Pledge of Allegiance and they read the problems for the day and then they have a whole lesson about life and stuff. But this is when they end the day after the morning session after prayer, everyone says this verse. See if you can say it with us. If everyone can read it, Proverbs 21, verse 30. It says, everyone can read that law together if you don't mind.
There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord.
Does anyone want to tell me what they think that means? There is no wisdom or counsel or understanding against the Lord. Don't be shy. It means that anything that's opposite of what God says does not make any sense. Don't listen to it. Don't give heed to it. Because there's no understanding. It's not going to make sense. It's not going to follow through. Everything that God says is right and true, and that should be what we follow for life. And then Proverbs 23, verse 23. The first part is the only part I want to read. Buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not. That means buy, believe, take, keep what God says, and don't sell it. Don't give it away for one moment of pleasure, one little time. Don't let it slip out of your hands. Buy the truth and you sell it not. If you had something valuable given to you, I don't know if any of you have ever had something that's been passed down from generation to generation. Maybe it's a piece of jewelry for you girls, or maybe it's a quilt, or I don't know, something important. That's something that's valuable to you, that's special to you, has significance. When I was going to get married over 16 years ago, my grandmother passed away, but my aunt had a piece of jewelry that she gave me. It was a beautiful bracelet, and it was had all this little filigree details and diamonds, and she told me that my great-great-great-grandmother was given this bracelet to her on her wedding day from her husband, and that every bride in the family wore it on her wedding day. And I don't have it anymore, now my sister has it, but it was a special piece of jewelry. And man, I made sure that day that I took care of it with everyone hugging and everything. I wanted to make sure it didn't slip off because it was over a couple of hundred years old. It was very special to me. But that is sort of an idea of what buy the truth and sell it not means. Here's another great quote. What God says is right, what God says is right, though all the world be against it. These are good truths. And actually, that quote was said by Faithful in Pilgrim's Progress. I don't know if any of you are familiar with that, but that is a great quote. What God says is right, though all the world be against it. These are convictions and truths that you have to take in your heart and believe with all your heart. That way, when you come to a situation and you have to confront it or you have to say, what do I believe? You'll have scripture and you'll have quotes like this. Well, wait a minute. What God says is right, though all the world be against it. All right, I'm going to take what God says and believe it. So the number one thing that we're going to talk about today, number one, is our thoughts control our actions. Our thoughts control our actions. use scripture today again, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. I'll just read it really fast. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. I'm sure you all know that verse. Our thoughts control our actions. I think we as girls know that very well. We can wake up one morning and we can look in the mirror and be like, I look horrible today. I look so ugly. And then what is that the rest of our day? We can't stand the way our hair looks or how we look. And lots of times that can affect our attitudes, right? So our thoughts do control our actions. So guess what, girls? We need to be mindful of that. I am not going to let my thoughts or what I think control my actions. What does God say about me? How should I view myself? Our thoughts control our actions and how we view God. In coming to Christ, being saved, God thinks great thoughts for us. God's word says that. He wants his very best for us. He wants us to know him. He wants us to live for him. He wants us to serve him. He has the very best in mind for us. So when it comes to God, we need to think right about him. Just last week, I think it was, I was talking to a young lady who was raised in church, and she really wanted to be saved. But she grew up in a home where her dad wasn't saved. And she had such struggles in her thoughts towards God because her earthly father was not what he should be for her. He did not meet her needs. And so when she would go to pray, she was so fearful that God would not save her. But her thoughts were controlling her actions. And until she changed her thoughts, then she could control and change her actions. And she did that. She got saved. And her life is changed. And praise the Lord for that. So God wants us to view him right, and we should. And we can view God right through his word. Get into God's word. Read, what does God say about himself? And that's how we should think about him. Number two is how we view ourselves. We can be haughty. We can be selfish. We can be negative. We can be selfish in how we treat each other. We can view ourselves in how we appear to others. Now, we can try to appear one way to others and really not be like that at home. So we need to worry about how we are to others. Make sure we're not selfish. Haughty, proud is another word. Negative. It's very important how we view ourselves. And how, if we view ourselves right, if we view God right, we'll view ourselves right. And then the last one is how we view others. Are you kind? Are you compassionate? Are you forgiving? Are you friendly? Well, I know this because I am a girl and I grew up with girls. You really need to view yourself and consider yourself how you treat other girls, whether they're older than you, whether they're younger than you. I'm sure every one of us could sit here today and think about a time that we were mistreated by girls and it hurts so bad. If you are saved, you're a Christian, you're in the youth group, you should be the best testimony that you can be. You should be Christ to others and show kindness to others. Don't allow yourself to be, as they say, catty. No offense to Catherine, because I'm not kitty, is that?
Yeah.
Okay, no, I'm not using your word, your name, I should say. But you know what I mean? Just like mean. I had it growing up. I had it at camp. I'd be so excited to come to camp. And then there were the girls that couldn't bother with you. Or they called us the New York girls. And we're like, why are we being named the New York girls? You know, it was very hurtful to us. But you don't have to be like that. Be kind to everyone. Be a friend. You know, the Bible says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Treat others the way you would want to be treated. Go out of your way to make a friend. Make a girl feel good about herself. Be kind. So that our thoughts control our actions. Number two, wrong thoughts can come from the devil. Right in the beginning of God's word, the devil is right on the scene, and he tempts Eve. He says, does anyone know what his first phrase is? Hath God said? He questions God right away. So if you have questions about God, or about Christianity, or being a Baptist, or standards, or why is the world bad? That is the devil putting these questions in your mind. And what are you going to do with it? Are you going to believe the devil? Are you going to believe his lies? Or are you going to filter your thoughts through the scripture? What does God say about this? I know very much so, because God made us this way, that we are to be attracted to boys. And we like when boys notice us. And maybe you say, well, I don't like if boys notice me. I don't care. Good for you. But most girls do. Or they notice guys. But your job right now is not to have your mind full of that. Your job is to work on yourself. I remember my mom saying that to me growing up. You need to work on yourself. Look in the mirror. And sometimes I was like, I don't want to hear that. Why do I want to work on myself? I'm fine. Those are lies the devil gives you. You are to look at yourself. Do you know, if you are the right type of girl and you're working on being the right type of girl for God's glory, the right type of guy is going to come along. And I know at Lehigh Valley that you probably have seen that time and time again, because you have tons of marriages every year and you hear tons of stories about how the Lord worked things out for his glory and brought two people together. And you'll have a story like that one day if you follow God's plan and you do what's right and you think right about God and you think about right about yourself and you think right about others. But all these things with boys and girls and boys and trying to get around and, you know, sneak around and get by with these rules. Well, we weren't really touching each other technically. Stop that. Do what's right. Be girls that have good character, that stand up for something. The world is the ones that don't have character. They don't stand for anything, and they want the easy way out. Don't be like that. Stand up for what's right. Don't allow the devil to have his way in your life. You may talk about dress standards. Why do I have to wear a skirt? Why can't I wear what the world wants to wear? Why? Why is it so much that you have to be like the world? Why does the world have such a pull on you? These are questions you need to ask yourself. The Bible says that the world's going to pass away in the lust thereof. He that doeth the will of the Father shall live forever. These are things that you should really consider. God's word has truth in it every single moment throughout Scripture. There is something that you can take from the world and plug in and go, what does the Bible say about that? These are things that matter to you. You have to know what you believe. These are questions that you want to know now. Remember Brother Gable said last night, and I thought it was so wonderful how he said, just took one phrase from a message about that candlestick being burnt on both ends and then cutting away the wax in the middle and bringing burned in the middle. These are things, he made a choice in his teen years, and I'm telling you something. I was raised in a pastor's home. I was born into Christianity, if you want to say that. And I grew up in it, and now I'm married to a pastor. It's the best life. It really is. Do we have hard things? Yes, we've gone through very hard things. Personally, I've gone through very hard things. As a husband and wife, we've gone through hard things. As a family, we have. But it's worth it all. I'm so thankful when I lay my head on my pillow at night that I know Christ, that he's real to me, that I have him to go through life with. I don't know where I would be without him. We have the answers to life right here in this book. So don't allow the thoughts of the devil that he puts into your life to take over and let them be your thoughts. You push them away. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Do it. You watch it. It'll work. The next one, number three, wrong thoughts come within from within us. Jeremiah 17:9. Turn really fast. Says, it's another famous verse I'm sure you girls all know very well. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who could know it? So you have to ask yourself this question. And what I'm thinking, is it true and it's right? Is it something that God would agree with? I'm not talking about being positive, because we are sinners. You know, if you're thinking wrong about something, you need to confess it and forsake it and turn from it. I'm not talking about, you know, you can't think anything wrong, be positive, but I'm asking you to, your thoughts should be pleasing to the Lord, and how would the Lord want me to think about these things? It is very important that we base what we think about ourselves on facts and not on feelings. I started off by this. Remember how we can wake up in the morning and we can just think, oh, I'm ugly today. Maybe some of you are like, I'm gorgeous today. Maybe you're like one of those girls. I'm not. I'm 39 years old. I still wake up, oof, you have a rough morning. I don't know what's going to happen with that face today. But it's very important that we base our facts or what we believe not on our feelings, but on facts and on the Word of God. If you don't do this, how many of you have heard about riding the emotional roller coaster? Anyone know about that? Riding the emotional roller coaster? How many know people who ride the most emotional roller coaster? How many of you been on that ride? Get off the ride. Don't ride the emotional roller coaster. There's girls, there'll be girls, there'll be women like this the rest of your life. That you can see them one day at church and they're great and they're your BFFs and you get along, and then the next time you come to church and they're like cold shoulder, I don't know you, who are you? And you're like, okay, how should I gauge you today? I had a friend like that in church, and I would, hey, how are you? I just had a headache. You know, all these excuses, and I am the type, I just, please, let's move on. I can't, you know, don't have time for this. So either you can go on that emotional roller coaster and be like, fine, I'm going to treat you like this, and I'm going to act just like that. Or you can say, you know what, I'm sorry you have that bad day, I'm going to pray for you. Or if you're like that, or you wake up in the morning and you just don't feel like talking to your parents that day, or you feel like, you know, I can't have time for my siblings and stuff like that, get off of that emotional roller coaster. Get your mind set on things above and say, you know what? This is yucky how I'm feeling. I don't want to feel like that. I'm getting off this emotional roller coaster. I'm going to base my feelings on facts, not what I'm feeling at the moment or how I feel. All right? Let's see. Where am I? Have you ever made up thoughts or thought something against another girl? You walk into youth group on a Sunday morning into your Sunday school class and you feel like they're looking at me weird. Oh no, they're staring at me wrong. Something's wrong. They don't like me. Oh, I saw them whisper to the girl next to them. They don't like me. And you conjure up this whole story in your mind. And guess what? About an hour later, you find out that wasn't true at all. They just happened to be glancing at you when you came in. And then they remembered they had to tell their friend something, so they whispered. And you made up this whole story. Girls can be like that. We have wild imaginations. You ever lay in bed at night? I don't know, maybe I'm the weird one that does this, but I have laid in my bed at night, I can't fall asleep, and next thing you know, I'm imagining in my mind at my mother's funeral, you know, and then I'm like crying. I find myself like crying. I'm like, why am I doing this? My mother's still alive, you know, or my daughter's in bed. What if something ever happened to them, or my husband? And I go, you know, your mind, our minds can be a vain thing, and we can get ourselves so wrapped up emotionally. You don't want to be like that. Filter your thoughts and your actions and your wild imaginations through the scripture and think right about things. You'll save yourself a lot of problems in life, a lot of things. We as girls love to blame things. Don't be a blamer on your emotions. Well, I just don't feel good because, you know, it's that time and yucky pucky. Don't give in to your feelings or emotions during a certain time of the month. That is poppycock. All right? It's not real. Get a hold of yourself, especially if you're saved. You have the Holy Spirit. So what? You don't feel good. Guess what? There's plenty of other people throughout the world that don't feel good. Get a hold of your emotions and get on with your day and be the best Christian that you can be. You don't give in to these things. I'm not saying to be a robot. I understand that we're girls and we have emotions and we feel things. But make sure you're feeling the right things. Make sure that you're thinking right about life and how you look at life. What are some ideas that you could think about that are patterns of negative thinking that are not good ways to think? Want some interaction? I gave one earlier. I'll maybe give you a little thing to jog your mind. You wake up in the morning and you say, I don't like how I look. And that affects your whole day. What's another way that you can have patterns of negative thinking? How about nobody likes me?
Judgmental thinking.
Judgmental thinking, yeah. condemning everyone that's around you. It's very wrong. Thinking nobody likes me. You know, to think about that. Nobody likes me. Does your mother like you? Does your dad like you? Does your grandparents like you? People in the church? There are always going to be someone that likes you and loves you. You're not alone. So, instantly, that's a phrase probably girls have used one time or another. No one likes me, but you're about to get along with anyone. Then change yourself. Lots of times it's very easy because we have the Adam and Eve syndrome and we want to deflect all of our problems on everybody else. Guess what? Look in the mirror at yourself. Go, what can I do to change? If I don't have friends, what can I do to change to have friends? Maybe be the right type of girl. Maybe you're the girl in the youth group who's always on the edge, who's always just right there. You're not exactly, you know, have the best dress standards, but you don't have the worst dress standards. Or you're not exactly, like, overly flirty with the boys, but you're just a little bit. Or they have these rules, and you go right on the edge. Don't be like that. Be better than that. Have good character. Think about what God says. It matters. It's for your best. It's for your good. What are some other, can anyone think of another pattern of negative thinking? Yes? The what ifs. That is very, very daunting. Yes?
Comparing yourself with other people.
Oh, yeah. The Bible says over and over again throughout even the New Testament, don't compare yourselves among yourselves. It's damaging. It really is. God made who you are. For a reason and for a purpose, and ultimately His glory. You are exactly what God made you to be. So glory in that, and be the best you can be in that area, for God's glory. No one is perfect. Maybe you're sitting around looking, well, so-and-so has the most beautiful hair, or she has the prettiest eyes, or she always is getting new clothes, or her family just seems so perfect. Every family has their flaws. Guess what? Because we're human beings, we're sinners, we're going to fail, we're going to make mistakes. You don't know what goes on in the privacy of homes. No one has the perfect life. If you get that now, your expectations won't be unrealistic in life. Your expectations will be of Christ, and that will be all that matters. So, don't have a pattern of negative thinking. You know, there are patterns of negative thinking with fear. Fear if I'm going to be accepted, if I'm going to be liked, if I'm going to get along with people. Fear of losing people. Fear is such a bad bondage to have in your life. Yeah. Absolutely. Girls, all these things, they're so important. Settle them in your heart now, and you can just go on and be victorious in your Christian life and be the best that you can be if you settle these things now in your life. Don't compare yourself among yourselves or think, why do they have what I don't have? Why don't... God has given you everything that you need in life. Don't sit there in bondage and hold like, oh, poor me. I don't have... Remember after... Jonah, my husband touched a little bit on this. He was swallowed by a whale, and he repented, and then he went and he did wonderful things in Nineveh. People repented, he preached the gospel, and all of a sudden, at the end of it, he turned his thoughts back to himself. And he was in this pit of despair and negativity. You don't want to be like that. Don't allow yourself to go down there. And can I tell you something? I know for a fact in each of your churches that you have enough godly people that you can go to and you can tell them, say, can I have you for an accountability partner or person in my life that I can come to you? I'm feeling this way. Can you help me think right? If you feel like you're too weak on your own, maybe it's your best friend. Maybe they say, hey, you know what? I'm struggling with the way I'm feeling. I don't want to feel this way. I want to think right. I don't want to go on that emotional roller coaster. I don't want to believe the lies that the devil's telling me about my thoughts. I want to think right. I want to think the way God wants me to think about my life. That is a wonderful thing to have. That is part of the blessings of being in a church, a good, sound, doctrinal, Bible-believing church. That is the beauty of that. You can have people that can be your mentors and to help you bring you to Christ or bring you up in your Christian life. The other way to stop patterns of negative thinking is to filter them through Scripture. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. This is a great and powerful verse that you should have memorized. For girls, this is a really good thing because it's going to stop you dead in your tracks when you're starting to think about things that you shouldn't be thinking about. When you think negative thoughts, when you're starting to believe the lies of the devil about yourself. The devil is a destroyer. He wants to destroy your life. He wants you to think wrong about yourself. He wants you to think wrong about life. He wants you to think wrong about God. And the Bible has a verse for that. You stop it dead in your tracks by verse 8. Says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. So you need to ask yourself, is what I'm thinking true? And what am I thinking, is it honest? Whatsoever things are just, is this fair? Whatsoever things are pure, is this the way the Lord wants me to think about this situation? Is this pleasing to the Lord? Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what does that last phrase say? Think on these things. Yes. This is a verse when we're starting to think wrong about ourselves or about the Lord or about others. This is a verse that you should go to. This is not lovely. This is not true. This is not honest. I don't need to be thinking on these things. I need to think on things that are good and honest and true and lovely. And then quickly, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This is another powerful verse for if not, we're not thinking right. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. All right, let's all read it together. Everyone there, ready?
Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
That solves all these questions and all these problems in your life. Taking your thoughts, if they're wrong, if they're against God, if they're not pleasing, and casting them down. You can just sort of visualize that in your mind, casting down my imaginations, throwing them down. I'm done with this. I'm not having any more of this. This is wrong. It's going against God. It's exalting itself above God. I'm not thinking right about the Lord. I'm not thinking about myself. I'm not thinking about right about others. I'm going to cast this down. That's a powerful verse. And then bringing into captivity, that means like having the self-control, say, I am done thinking about these things. I'm going to bring into captivity my thoughts. Remember we talked about before about how we can get our imaginations to running to, oh, they don't like me, I'm ugly, oh, what if this happens, what if that happens? Fear is a real thing, getting rid of it. Look up verses. If you have problems with fear in your life, you're fearful of what's going to happen to your family, what's going to happen to your parents, what's going to happen in my life, look up verses to combat those fears. God's word is powerful. It's life-changing. It's the best resource that you have in this life. Use it. It's God speaking to you. These are God's words. These are what God has for us, for our lives. And lastly, know who you are. Who are you? If you are saved, you are a child of God. Lots of times, girls, and guys do the same thing, but I guess because I'm a girl, you notice it more. But you don't want to be a shallow girl where whatever the girls or the popular girls are doing, you group, oh, I got to do that too. Oh, they're all wearing this type of sneaker. Well, I got to wear those too. Or they all have these shirts. I grew up on Long Island, and I grew up in this just adorable, quaint little town called Sayville. And it was right on the bay, and it was just one of those, like, Main Street USA type of little towns. All these little tiny shops, and just really nice. But it was the town, not the part where I lived in, but a lot of the town was very wealthy. And silly, but when I was growing up, my early teen years, Land's End jackets were all the rage. Yes. And if you had the little Land's End, So I remember driving through town with my mom, and literally everyone on the streets had a Land's End winter jacket in all different colors of the rainbow. And that, and when you went to the schools, the public schools in that town, you were in if you had a Land's End jacket. And I didn't go to the public schools. I went to the Christian school, but I remember thinking, huh, I would like one of those jackets. But my thinking wasn't right. Why did I want one of those jackets? It wasn't because, oh, they're very good quality and they keep you warm in the winter. It was because everybody else had one. These are things, I know, maybe like, oh, I know this, but these are things even to this day as 39-year-old that I need to think about. Why do I do the things I do? Why do I want these things? These are good questions to ask yourselves. Girls' minds can be very complex and very confusing. Very confusing. Guys even think these things about us. Like, you know, there's always these things. Can't understand a woman. You don't know what they're thinking. Don't make yourself that way. Don't make yourself so complex. Why do I do the things I do? Who am I? And then lastly, number 5 is conform your thoughts. And therefore your lives to God's word. It will infuse your thoughts when you line up your life to God's word, or you know the truths from God's words. It will infuse your thoughts with truth, with honesty. You'll understand life when you understand God's word. It's not above you, girls. God's word is not above. Well, I can't understand. Brother Fryman gets up and he preaches. I'm like, how does he do that? I ask the same thing every Sunday. How do he know? But it's not. God's word is not for pastors or for your youth pastor or for your pastor's wife or missionaries. God's word is for us, the common man. He made it for us. And my husband, I think he said it yesterday, the day before, don't pray and ask, Lord, please give me something from your word today. He has. He's given you a whole book. He's given you 66 books. He's given you his whole complete word. You have to ask, Lord, help me to understand your word. Help me to understand it, what you want me to understand for today. You will not go through life measuring everything by the way you think and based on your past experiences, but you'll measure it by God's word and what it says for you. When you align your thoughts and your actions to the Word of God, you will live a peaceful life and a happy life and a fulfilling life. Because you know what? You will know who you are. You will know who you are because you will know who Christ is. And you will know what Christ's expectations are for you. And you won't have to worry. You can go through life comparing yourselves among yourself and say, do I meet their standards? Maybe if I do this, they'll be my friend. Or if I do this, they'll like me more. Or he will like me more. No, you'll go through life going, I know who I am because I'm saved and I'm God's child and I know what he has for me. And life may not be perfect or what I imagined it to be. But remember, our imaginations can deceive us. But I know it's exactly what God wants for me. There is nothing more sweeter or better than being in God's will for your life. There's nothing more rewarding. There isn't. I can't think of one thing. And that doesn't mean that you can't live life here on this earth. God meant us to live our life to the fullest here on life, but to the fullest in his will for us. All right? That is the end.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Make sure you get by and thank Mrs. Fryman for taking the time to challenge us with our thoughts. And here's just one thing to leave you with, okay? We talked about a lot of different things. So try to identify